This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Change is expected at the top of the Vatican Bank today. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and the economy. The Vatican Bank is due to announce a new chief executive today after months of restructuring in a bid to make the bank more transparent. Pope Francis had called for an across-the-board cleaning out of the bank following persistent evidence that it had been used by money launderers. According to the bank's latest financial report, the cost of restructuring just about wiped out its profits for all of 2013. René Breuelhardt is a Swiss banker who was brought in to run the Vatican's anti-money laundering authority. He described to our partners at the BBC what is being done.
In every normal financial institution, you have a proper profile of your clients. You know with whom you're dealing. You know who has access to the relevant accounts, how these are used. And that's kind of the issue and the information you need. And for the relevant accounts where still kind of information are missing, these are blocked. There's no tolerance on that anymore. We have put in place a clear legal framework. We carried out our first ever inspection of the institute, and the relevant measures have been implemented.
A French financier named Jean-Baptiste de Francois is widely expected to be named today to head the Vatican Bank. Now, the next huge bank that could soon settle for allegedly selling mortgages it knew were shoddy is Citigroup. Several published reports this morning suggest Citi is close to agreeing to pay about $7 billion to end a federal lawsuit about this. The bank hadn't set aside this much money, and some investors had argued Citi should take this one to trial. Brinksmanship is at play here, and this may be a case of it's not over until it's over. Now, when the Great Recession hit, business travel was one of the first things to go in the U.S. as companies look for ways to cut back. But a new report this week shows employees are taking to the rails, roads, and skies again as confidence in the economy continues to grow. Shannon Mullen reports.
American companies are booking more business trips than they were this time last year by almost 3%, and their employees are spending more money on the road, according to the Global Business Travel Association. The group expects both numbers to keep going up as the economy rallies. That pleases Harvard Business School professor Sadal Neely, who studies global collaboration.
I think we're going to have healthier, more functional teams, more effective work. You can have similar effects without the face-to-face contact, but it takes much longer.
So where does that leave video calls and other high-tech tools for connecting remotely? Kevin Mitchell is head of the advocacy group, the Business Travel Coalition.
Well, I think a lot of companies got their toes wet with teleconferencing, thinking that it would eliminate travel. And really, what it's turned out to be is an extra tool for businesses to compete.
Mitchell says the report's most encouraging finding, companies are spending 7% more on conventions and other group travel that pays off longer term. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 10s. Well, let's see here. It's down about 0.4%. The DAX in Germany is up less than 0.1%. In Brazil, reeling from its shocking World Cup loss to Germany yesterday, today was already set aside as a national holiday, so there is no trading on the Brazilian stock exchange to report. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up this morning. A new study claims that about half the garden plants sold at stores like Lowe's, Home Depot, and Walmart contain neonicotinoids. No, neonics for short. This is a pesticide that may be toxic to bees. And everyone agrees we need bees to pollinate plants. The studies from the environmental consulting firm Pesticide Research Institute and the nonprofit group Friends of the Earth. The industry in the past has maintained that if the relevant pesticides are used correctly, they pose no hazard. Sally Herships reports on what this may mean for home gardeners.
Note to bees, do not stop and smell the roses or you might die. At least if you're in a big box store, which is where I'm standing in the garden section with Heather Leibowitz, director of Environment New York.
Tell me what we see looking around.
A lot of greenery, a few flowered plants,
Not so much information, a few signs.
Which Leibowitz says is a big problem. There are no federal requirements that require plants treated with neonics to be labeled. We walk out of the store to some flowers planted near the curb in front. There are no bees. But Leibowitz says, imagine you're a bee and all that yummy nectar you're drinking and the pollen you're carrying back to the hive is laced with poison.
They just had a little snack, had a little drink, and they're going back to their hive, and they're poisoning the queen sometimes, these drone bees.
The flowers are killing the bees.
Leibowitz says it's not just farmers. Home gardeners need to pay attention to pesticides. Tim Brown is a scientist who worked on the new study. I asked him to explain how neonics work.
If you want me to get super science geeky, it targets the nicotinic acetylcholine receptors
within the bee brain. But Brown says we humans have a lot riding on the well-being of those tiny brains.
There are a number of crops that are pollinated by bees, and if we're not protecting their health, then we're going to see impacts.
Either we won't get the food we need, or Brown says it'll become a lot more expensive. Joe Bischoff is with American Hort, a horticultural industry association. He says if we stop using neonics, we'll also have a problem.
You know, if you throw only one chemical class at many of these insects, they overcome it.
Not all bugs, says Bischoff, are helpful to plants.
In the long run, it's a dangerous situation.
Bischoff says growers are worried about controlling problem insects. He says, keep in mind, growers are businesses. They wouldn't buy pesticides if they didn't need them. But some big box stores like BJ's Wholesale Club say they're working to sell plants that are neonic free. So science and business will have to work together to find a solution. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Now, you've heard of binge watching on Netflix or Amazon or Hulu. Well, Marketplace's digital team has built a tool for, I guess you could call it binge listening. Our Marketplace app allows you to build a custom playlist of Marketplace podcasts, stories, or whatever. You can listen while cooking or falling asleep or while wide awake in your car, or save the stories for listening offline if you're on public transit or something. The app is for iPhone, iPad, and Android devices. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.